title of today's sermon is Name Above All Names. Can you say that with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to John. Open your Bible to the book of John. John chapter 16. No? Was it John 16 or John 14? Anybody remembers the Bible reading? John 14. John 14 verse 12 to 14. John 14 verse 12 to 14. We're going to look at it and we're going to start from there. We're looking at the name above all names and what is the value of that name. It reminds me of a song, you know, that was written by Hillsong that says, you know, what a wonderful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. And then what a powerful name it is. But really, I tell you that of all those lines, the real one that really has meaning is what? The powerful name. It's not about the beauty of the name. Amen? Or the wonder is the power invested in that name. That's what matters to you. That's what will deliver results for you. Amen? Okay? So John 14, 12 to 14. Who has it? Who's ready? New King James, New Living, or Amplified? Please listen. Tell us which version.
New Living. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can be glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Amen. Now, the part I just want to emphasize to you now, there is that Jesus, when Jesus, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? And the lie. But now, Jesus, there are some things when Jesus is talking, he's trying to emphasize some things. So, anything Jesus says is important. But there are also things that Jesus tells that are extra important. So, you hear him saying things like, verily, verily, or surely, surely, I'm saying to you, he's telling you that this one is very, very important. Now, Jesus is telling you that I tell you the truth. It's not just a form of speaking. He's giving some emphasis there. He's doing that because he knows you may doubt it. That's why I say, I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is the real truth, the real deal. Pay attention to it, engage with it, believe it. So, the purpose of saying I say the truth is so that you can engage with it, believe it. If you don't believe it, it may not work for you. So, I say, this is the truth. So, if you say, this is the truth. Okay, now, go for it, go for it. I thought you were going. Yes, another version, that was New King James? New Living Translation, okay? John 14, 12 to 14. Yes. Tell us the version and read.
This is from the ESV.
Yep.
Truly, truly, I say to you.
Truly, truly. That's emphasis. Amen. Truly, truly. This is true. It's double, it's very true. Go on, please.
Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen. Truly, 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 truly. So what I'm really trying to say, I'm trying to just help you open up your mind and your spirit to what we're about to look at here. This is serious information here. And Jesus has put a double emphasis on it. Yeah? It's like, I guarantee what I'm telling you here. And he has to say that because he knows that what he's about to tell you, there's a natural tendency for you to doubt this one. That's why he's giving you a double guarantee. Amen? Let's have Amplified. John 14, 12 to 14, Amplified. Are you okay, my sister? Yeah, John 14, 12 to 14, who is ready? Amplified version. John 14, 12 to 14, Amplified. Go for it.
John 14, 12. Yes. I assure you and most solemnly say to
I assure you and most solemnly. I'm dead serious here. third word. See, I like your attention to paying attention. Go on, please.
Most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than this in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatsoever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will
do. I will do whatsoever you ask in my name as my representative. This is the key thing there. This is the key information there, where some of the things you are doing is not working. Amen? Because you are doing it for your selfish motive, not as his representative. Another version of it says, representing everything that I am, or everything that I stand for. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You remember, like what the kids in Sunday school, they say, what would Jesus do? Amen? Mm-hmm. So if I'm in a situation, and what would Jesus do? And I'm going to do what Jesus would have done. I am representing what he would have done. So I can ask in his name, or I can command something in his name, because that's exactly what he would have done. And the Bible says, when I'm functioning like that, he will back me up and do it. Continue, please.
This I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son.
In the Son. Hallelujah. First question there, just to quickly focus our minds, is that who is the person who will do it when you ask in his name? Who will do it in these verses? Is it Father or Jesus? Jesus. Now let me explain. Now, to enlighten your understanding, let's go to John 16. I want to show you another set of verses that are similar but different. John 16, 23 to 24. John 16, 23, 24. Yes, let's have a reader. John. So we first read John 14, 12 to 14, and you can take a note of that. Now we're going to read John 16, 23 to 24. John 16, 23 to 24.
New King James?
Yes.
And in that day you will ask me nothing, but assuredly I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Amen. Now who are you asking here? The Father or Jesus? And who will do it for you? Jesus or the Father? Father. Amen. In John 16, it says that you should ask the Father. Yeah? And that the Father will do it. Yeah? For you. Are you with me? But in John 14, it says, ask in my name. In both cases, you're asking his name. But in the one case, you're asking the Father. Yeah? In another case, you're just asking, not to the Father. Amen? And Jesus will do it. So the question, of course, the natural question, what's the natural question? What's the difference? Amen. When you have needs, what's the Lord's prayer? When they're like, when the disciples came to Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. Amen. So Jesus is going to teach them how to pray. But when Jesus is speaking, everything he says means many things in one, because it's multidimensional. So he says, when you pray, pray like this. What's the first line of prayer? Prayer is addressed to who? The Father. Don't miss the address. Your letter is not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Prayer is addressed to God, because the Father is greater than the Son. Jesus said it over and over again. My Father is greater than I. Hallelujah. There is order in the Godhead. Otherwise there will be no harmony. Amen. The Father is greater than the Son. The Son is greater than the Spirit. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. Hallelujah. There is order so that there can be harmony. Hallelujah. So you pray to the Father. But you pray to Father about your needs. Amen? You need something. Who do you ask? Yeah? Let's ask, young man. When you need something, who do you ask?
The Father.
In the home. Give me an honest answer. When you need something at home, who do you ask?
marvel.
I thought the answer I would give her, it depends. If it's what?
Oh.
Smoky jollof rice. You know who to ask. It depends on what you need. Yeah? But you ultimately ask the Father. Hallelujah. You ask the Father. The role of the Father is to meet your needs. Amen? He said, give us this day our daily bread. When you have a need, yeah, that you cannot meet, who do you go to? You go to your Father in heaven. Present that need to him. Say, Lord, I need this. I've done it countless times. Just tell him. Hallelujah. Tell him your need. Ask him for your need. Amen. You present your needs to the Father. Amen. And you present it in the name of Jesus. You don't pray to Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus has a Father. And when Jesus was on earth, he's always pointing you to what? The Father. I'll try to teach you this and I'll try to remind you again. It's not Jesus sitting on the throne. When you say the Lamb upon the throne, you've not read the book of Revelation well. That statement is never there. The Lamb does not sit on the throne. The Lamb is in the middle of the throne. So you read Revelation 5, Revelation 4, you say the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. Hallelujah. But the Father, yeah, is the one who sits on the throne. The Son sits at the right hand of the Father. When the Son manifests as the Lamb, he is standing, hallelujah, in the midst of the throne. Hallelujah. It's the Father that sits on what? On the throne. So you ask the Father for your needs. Please turn to your neighbor and say, ask the Father for your need. Hallelujah. It's an evidence of your faith. Hallelujah. I'm thinking your needs are the things that are beyond you. Yeah? You need it, but you cannot what? Provide it. Ask. Go to your closet and say, Father, I need this. Yeah? Amen? And when you're asking, ask in the name of Jesus. Say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, yeah, he will give you. Of course, the Father will not give you something that will harm you. Because if he did that, he's not a good Father. Amen? Which good Father? We give you, you ask him for egg, then he gave you a serpent. Yeah? Well, let's reverse it. Which good Father will you ask for a serpent and he will give you a serpent? Amen? I mean, I heard that some people are keeping snakes now as pets. It's very unbiblical. Because Genesis 3 says, I will put enmity. Yeah? So if you're looking for a pet, please don't keep what? A snake. Even if it doesn't bite. It's still not the best example of a pet. Amen? I don't know why I said that. Maybe that's useful for somebody. Somebody's child. I don't know. I don't know why I said that, but keep that somewhere. So a good father, you're asking for a serpent, is not going to give you a serpent. Hallelujah? Because he knows that the serpent is not good for you. Even if you go to a good father and say, Father, this serpent! Because normally, the serpent does not present as a serpent. Yeah? The serpent presents as what? A charming, yeah? A something nice. Yeah? He always presents in disguise. Hallelujah? He always presents what? In disguise. But the Father can see through the disguise. So even if you're saying, Father, oh, this is nice. I love it. I want it. I want it. I want it. But a good Father who has seen through will not give you. Because he knows that that thing will ultimately harm you. And that's not breaking John 16. Hallelujah. God has no obligation to give you anything that is outside of his will. Because anything that is outside of God's will is not good for you. Hello? Let's settle the matter. God is a good God. He's a good father. Amen? Remember that song we sing? You're a good, good father. He's who you are. He's a good father. Hallelujah. He sees the heart. He sees the mind. Yeah? He knows the past. He knows the present. And what? He can predict the future. Are you with me? So, that's who God is. So, when God has a plan for you, it's the best plan. If you are struggling to receive it, it's because you are of little faith. Amen? You know, sometimes I love God and I trust God, but I'm not telling you that God's plan is the best for you. And you are struggling. That means you don't trust God. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't even trust the goodness of God. If you doubt the plan of God for your life, you don't trust the goodness of God. Hallelujah. When you start trusting the goodness of God, you embrace his plan. Because his plan is the best for you. Your life can never achieve better than the plan of God. Even if that plan means going to the cross. Okay. That's for those who can take it. Okay. I'm not saying you go. Are you with me? So, come back to the matter. When you have a need, ask your father. Hallelujah. If it's a genuine need, the father will do it for you. Please, can you read me that line again? The line you read. John 16. Let's tidy that before we go to John 14. John 16, 24.
Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Yes, you will receive. It's the Father's good pleasure to meet your needs, so that your joy will be what? Full. So when we had that testimony now, of that breakthrough, yeah? Your joy was what? Full. It turned your mourning into what? Into dancing again. It wiped your tears. Hallelujah. And it gave you joy. Amen? And that Father is happy to do that. Father is happy to see you joyful. Hallelujah. Joyful in his will and in his righteousness. He's a good father. Say with me, say, God, my God is a good father. And I trust him with my life. Hallelujah. He will lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And that's reassuring. That's what? Reassuring. But John 14 is not talking about praying to the Father. John 14 says, whatever you ask in my name. But it doesn't put Father there. And it doesn't say the Father will do it. It said, I will do it. Can you see it different? In one case, you pray, ask the Father in my name, and the Father will give you. John 16. But in John 14, it said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Yeah? So that the Father will be glorified in me. So what's the difference? The difference is that there are things that show up in your life. Yeah? That God does not want you to pray to him about it. But he wants you to do something about it yourself. Hello? James 4, 7. Open there. James chapter 4, verse 7. Let's show you the first example. James chapter 4, verse 7. Yes, a young person who is being distracted. And can I remind you? No other distractions. Only Bible app or notes app. Nothing else. Nothing else. Yes, a young person who has not read today. James 4, 7. Yes, who is ready? Young person. Thank you, sir. James chapter 4, verse 7. You ready? James 4, 7. Okay. The young people are not ready, so I'm coming to you. Well, let's go to the younger person for now. and then we come back to you. James 4 7.
James 4 7. This is the Message translation. It says, "So let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce."
Amen. You what? You yell a loud no. Like we're saying on Friday. Not here, not today. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes? More? James 4 7. Who's ready? Are you ready? Another version, yes. Just another version. James 4 7.
New Living Translation.
Yeah, go for it.
"So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
Humble yourself before God, then what? Who is to do that?
Resist the devil.
Yeah, who should do that? You or God? Me. Okay, then finally, New King James, anybody? Yes, James 4 7.
"Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
Amen. Who should submit to God? Me. Amen. Someone said Jesus has done everything for me, so I don't need to do any other thing. That's not true. Amen. All through your life, you need to do things in response to what God has done. Hallelujah. If you don't need to do any other thing, then you don't have any free will. God has programmed you. Yeah? Like a robot. No. God has done it. Yeah? For it to be complete, you will need to respond and cooperate with God. It's a package. Yeah? God has provided, but you must engage. Hallelujah. So who should submit to God? Me. Who is he talking to? Unbelievers or believers? Believers. Believers. Submit to God. What should I do? What should I do?
Submit
to God. What does it mean to submit? Humble yourself. Another word for submission? Come on.
Make yourself small.
Make yourself small. Okay. Another word?
Yield.
Another word to submit? What does it mean to submit? Surrender. You know, sometimes, yeah, the reason why you're not having the victory over Satan is because you're holding too tightly. It's that thing you're holding too tightly and you're not letting go. It's what Satan is using to keep you in bondage. Amen. That part of your life that you feel that God cannot, you don't want God to touch, that is the stronghold that Satan is using to entrap you. And until you let it go, say, no, I cannot negotiate that. Let it go. Surrender. Yeah? Let God invade your life. Let God do what? There should be no part of your life that God cannot have his say. There should be no part of your life that God cannot have his way. Yeah? There should be, when you come to God, there is no condition. Hallelujah. You're too small to be giving God conditions. Everything you give God a condition, yeah? You're changing yourself. He's perfect. So you say, God is perfect. Not any God. Not any God. I'm talking about Yahweh. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is perfect. Hallelujah. You don't need to give him any conditions. You come to God open-heartedly and say, Lord, I'm ready. Yeah? I'm ready. Yeah? You yield. You surrender. So that's first step. Now, what's the next one? Resist the devil. Who to do that? You or God? It's you. So, imagine that the devil is chasing you. Yeah? And your prayer say, God, please chase the devil away. What will God tell you?
I have given you my word.
I have given you my word. More?
You have to do that.
You have to. What do you do? Please help me. Devil is chasing you. Yeah? And you're running. I say, God, can't you see? I'm really running hard. Do something.
What will God tell you about?
Say, you do something. Yeah? Let me tell you now. In your physical power, you are not a match for the devil. I'm sure you already know that. Amen. You are not even a match for, you know, wild animals. Not talking about the devil. In physical power. But spiritually, yeah, you have authority in the name of Jesus. The reason why the name of Jesus has been put above all names is so that you can use it. Amen? Before Jesus became a man, he's already God. He already has a name that is more than, better than anybody's name. As God. Amen? But the name above all names is the fact that a man, Jesus Christ, becoming a man, has won the victory over the devil. That name reminds Satan of his defeat at the cross. That name reminds Satan of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. See, when Jesus died, Satan thought he had him forever. But God raised him. From what? From the dead. Yeah, you know the basis, because he committed no sin. Amen? You can't keep him there. Hallelujah. His blood is innocent. His blood is righteous. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus is the name of a man who won the victory. Yeah? Over Satan. It's not only Satan he won the victory over. When Jesus was on earth, he won the victory over everything. He won the victory over the storm. Remember that? He won the victory over death. He raised people from the dead. He won the victory over sickness and disease. He won the victory over sin. He committed no sin. Hallelujah. So that name is a summary of a human being. Because Jesus lived in human flesh. Jesus did not bring his flesh from heaven. He got it from Mary, the virgin. His flesh was as human as you and I. He ate, he slept, he was tired. Yeah? He wept. He prayed. He fasted. He cried. Amen? He cried. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Hallelujah. But he won, most importantly, he won the victory. Someone said, we say, Jesus, as a man, won the victory over sin and sickness and Satan and demons and oppression and depression. That is what is packaged in the name of Jesus. So, when Satan shows up, the power is not in your fist. It's not in your punch. Yeah? The power is not in your education, your knowledge, or your packaging. Yeah? So I'm looking good today. I look beautiful, like a model. Satan go and trouble the guys on the streets. No! Doesn't work that way. Hallelujah? The power is in the name. So you take the name. You have to what? You have to do what? Take what? The name. That's your helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Because the name of Jesus is salvation. Matthew 1:21. He said, you shall call him Jesus. Because he what? He will save his people. You take the name of Jesus. Yeah? And you deploy it as a helmet against the devil. Someone say, how do you do that? Yeah? How do you do that? Yeah? How do you what? Do that. Open your Bible to Mark 16. Mark 16, 17. Let's read Mark 16, 17. Please pay attention. If you want to have the victory over Satan and over the works of Satan, you cannot if you don't learn to ask in his name. That asking is commanding. Yeah? Speaking, demanding your right. Yeah? You demand your right of Satan or of situations and circumstances. We're seeing the unfortunate on Friday. You find yourself in a storm and your boat's about to sink. What do you do? What do you do? Yeah? Are you answering? You wanted to read. Before you read, what do you do? You're in a boat and there's a storm. You're in a ship. Let me not say boats. Or you may be in a cruise boat, a ship, and the storm arises and the boat is about to sink. What do you do? Yes, help me. Let me try this test. Yes. What do you do?
You ask the Father for mercy.
Yes, you can always ask for mercy. I tell you the truth about that is that there's never any time in your life that you cannot ask for what? Mercy. So I accept. You ask the Father for mercy. But much more. What more? Much more. Let me just stay there. Let me say a bit. You know, sometimes, yeah, we're doing the wrong thing. We're going to do our own thing. Yeah? We talk anyhow, we done anyhow, and you find yourself in this difficult situation. Yeah? It's appropriate that the first thing you do is to ask for what? Mercy. You've practiced rebellion, you've practiced disobedience, you didn't listen to the voice of the Spirit, yeah? And you're now in a mess, like Jonah. Yeah? In Jonah's situation, there was no commanding to do. Because he was going completely opposite to the will of God. There's no commanding we do that will solve any problem that day. All he can ask for is what? Mercy. So I'm just giving the perfect scenario. You ask for mercy. But mercy actually is a situation whereby you are outside God's will. Yeah? Whether partially or fully. Yeah? More answers? I'll come back.
It looks like a hopeless situation. So just say your last prayers, ask for forgiveness, and maybe ask God for, if there's a second chance, show me mercy. But really, just for me, I'll just say my last prayers and ask for forgiveness. It's in the middle of the ocean.
You know, the thing there is that, you know, one of our buddies is very frank. He down to it. He will tell you that that's this. And this is what many people will do. By the way, even many Christians will do that. Yeah? They may not say that in church, but in the real situation, in the real circumstance, that's exactly what they will do. Yes, you want to say something?
I will command the storm to stop using the authority that was granted to me.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. And put your hands together for our brother there. So, what's your name? Amen. But let me bring it practical. So I don't want to give you so you don't think it's a theoretical answer. Amen? Amen? Now, why is it wrong for you to say your last prayers? Though that's what many Christians will do. Please understand me. I'm saying that that's what many Christians will do. But what is wrong about it? Let's try the young person first.
Because you're having no faith that you'll survive.
And you have no, you're not using faith. You've given up completely. Okay? And the issue is that whether you give up or not, if it's going to kill you, it's going to kill you anyway. So whether you, okay, yeah, more?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing that we are weak in our faith.
Yes, you're not engaging your faith at all. You are just submitting to the situation. But the Bible does not tell us to submit to situation. The Bible tells us to submit to God. Yes, more? One more. Okay, thank you. So let me explain. But that's exactly what many people will do. They say their last prayers, and in fact, if in some tradition, their confession will be, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. They are already confessing what they think will happen. And they're not trying to do it. So what I'm saying is that if the situation is there, something bad is about to happen, yeah? And it's on its way to happening. Meaning that if you do nothing about it, what will happen?
It will happen.
It will happen. Because it's on its way to happening. Amen. Whether you say your last prayers or not. So the only way to respond
is to do something that can change the situation. No. Someone said, like my sister said on Friday, just an example, says, what if it was your time to die? Amen? But the question is, how do you know it's your time to die? How do you know?
Just one thing about that, Pastor, is if you're in a state of fear, then you won't connect and you will never know.
Amen.
So it's to speak life.
Hallelujah. Who gives you the revelation that it's your time to die? Who tells you that? How do you know it's your time to die? It's in the Bible. There are people in the Bible that knew that it was their time to die. Apostle Peter, when it was time to die, he knew. Apostle Paul, he knew. Jesus, he knew. Many times they were trying to arrest Jesus and catch Jesus before it was his time, and they never succeeded. You read your Bible, say it's because his time had not come, because his hour had not come. But when it was his time, yeah, Judas gambled, but Jesus yielded because it was his time. But how do you know it's your time? The only way you can know whether it's your time to die is that God revealed it to you. Now, if God has not revealed to you that it's your time to die, don't ever assume it's your time to die. Okay, another way that God can reveal to you that it's your time to die is God tell you that I'm finished with you. Or God tells you that you are useless to me. Because when you are useless to God, what is the value of living? Tell me. When you are useless to God, you are useless to the kingdom of God. You do nothing for the kingdom. Yeah? If they removed you now, the kingdom will not even feel your loss. It's like you were never there. What's your value? Hallelujah. The value of your life. The life is more than the food. And the body is more than what? The clothing. You have a body. And you have life in your body. Use it to serve God. Hallelujah. Some say, why do I have a body? And why do I have life in my body? Why? To serve God. Not just in church, in your workplace, in your family, extended family, in your neighborhood, wherever you go, that life you have in you, beautifully packaged in that body, yeah? Be an agent of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, now then, you are ambassadors for Christ. You are an agent. Say with me, I'm an agent of the kingdom. The life in me and the body I have are for the service of God. Hallelujah. Your body is not just for beautiful clothing. Your life is not just for nice food. Some say, I can't resist nice food. Remember that the whole fall of man started with food. Amen. Hallelujah. Your life is greater than food. And your body is greater than your what? Your clothing. Hallelujah. Because in that life, God has packaged, yeah, beautiful things that you can use to touch many lives. And you can use to move the kingdom forward. So if God has not told you it's your time to die, assume that it's not your time. Even if the doctor came and told you that you're going to die. Yeah? Ask God first. Say, God, is it true? Hallelujah. And if God has not said it's your time, that is another way of saying that God has not told you that you have finished your work, you have finished your mission. Yeah? Your job is to resist. Someone say resist. You resist. You do what? You cannot submit to something that God has not said is his will for you. Does it make sense to me? But at the same time, if God has shown you his will for you, there's no point fighting. Amen? It's the best. So, you find yourself in that situation. What are you going to do? You have to stand. Someone say, oh, you know, like we're talking on Bible study. After home fellowship, I reflect. We're talking about what Jesus was in the boat. The reason why the disciples, he said, why, oh, you of little faith, why were you afraid? It's because Jesus was in the boat. So what's this? What of today? You know, I say, oh, if Jesus was in that ship when it was about sinking, then I will be sure, I won't be afraid. But no, but Jesus is with you. Jesus is spiritually with you all the time. You need to know that. If you don't know that, the devil will take advantage of you. Say with me, say Jesus. Say because I have made Jesus my Lord and my Savior, He is always with me. Now, you need to try, you need to live in that consciousness. Whether you are sleeping or you are waking, whether you are at home or on the street, keep the consciousness that Jesus is with you. When you are in that boat or in that airplane or wherever you find yourself, keep the consciousness that Jesus is what? With you. Hallelujah. So then, when that situation shows up, the last thing you want to do is say your last prayers. Because like you're rounding up the matter. Amen? You open your mouth, and what do you put on your mouth? The name of Jesus. Now, if you're a very weak Christian, the minimum you can do is to shout what? Jesus. Hello? If you don't know what else to do, what's the minimum you can do? Shout what? Jesus. And you see, when you're in danger, it's not any time to be shy. Even if there are 1,000 people around you saying their last prayers, what should you do? Be shouting what? Jesus! 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 Look, I don't know about you. It's not diplomatic. What am I looking for? When you are conscious of other people and you want to behave yourself. Yeah? If that's more important to you than your life, keep quiet. Okay? You get what you get. Hallelujah. The minimum you can do is to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans chapter 10. I believe that's verse, is it 13? You can check it. But don't stay there. You don't need to stay there. What did Jesus do when Jesus was in the boat? And the storm came. And their boat was about to sink. Yes? Someone help me. What did Jesus do? And we will begin to round up. I'll say I try to round up in another 5 minutes. Yes? What did Jesus do? He was in the boat. Disciples were with him. Yeah? And there was a storm. What did Jesus do? Or what would Jesus do? WWJD.
Did Jesus command the storm to stop or calm down?
Is that a question or answer? Say it like an answer. Yeah.
Jesus commanded to stop.
Jesus rose up. Hallelujah. He did what? He rose. I'm teaching you the technique. He what? He stood up. Hello? You're in the boat. It's about to sink. Is there any harm in standing up to give a command? He stood up. It doesn't matter if there are a million people. They can die if they want to die. Amen? You know it's possible for a boat to sink and 900 people died and you are the only survivor. It's possible. Jesus stood up. You know, I got the word. Don't be shy. You see, if you want to live by faith, you have to be bold. Hallelujah. You have to be bold and you have to be of good courage. Please turn to your neighbor, smile, and say, be strong and of good courage. Many times you are losing the battle because you lack courage. Yeah? Remember, it reminds me of the book I read. The title is Church of Cowards. It's a book. You can search it. It's a good book. Yeah, just search it. Because you have people who lack courage. They say they believe, but they cannot stand for what they believe. They cannot preach what they believe. They cannot teach what they believe. Yeah? They cannot suffer for what they believe. So what did they truly believe then? Hallelujah. You stand up and say, in the name of Jesus. Now, give me the simple solution. Just be shouting, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't even pray your last prayer. Just be shouting what? Jesus. Even that's going to be your last prayer. It's a good prayer. Say, shouting, Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, is the minimum. But I'm teaching the advanced one. Stand and say, in the name of Jesus.
Like I said, let me teach you intermediate before I advance. Intermediate is say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the good works of the Lord. That is in the book of Psalms. You are quoting the Bible. It's there already. Hallelujah. I shall not die, but I shall live. You're in a medical emergency, and it's just like your life is shutting down. What do you do? Don't say your last prayers. Unless God has told you that it was your time. Amen? Yeah? Now, if you need to repent of your sin, repent of your sin, but don't wait until you're about to die before you repent of your sin. You know? Repent of your sin all the time. Anytime, the best time to repent of your sin is immediately after you sinned. Why will you wait until you're about to die? Amen? You say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to die. Isn't that a good statement? You're not praying to the Father. You're making a statement. You're demanding something by the name. Hallelujah. You are demanding something that glorifies God by the name. Hallelujah. If your life is shut down and God asks things he wants you to do, how does that glorify God? Somebody else will now have to come and do what you are supposed to do. How does that glorify God? Amen? Now, the advanced version is that, so the intermediate version is just for yourself. In the name of Jesus, I will not die. But what? But live to declare the good works of the Lord. That's intermediate version. But the advanced version is what Jesus would do. But we say Jesus got up. And he rebuked the wind and the waves. Yeah? And he commanded them, peace, be still. Another version says, it speaks to them and say, keep calm. You know, that's the British way. Keep calm and keep on doing what? Carrying on. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the waves calm down. That's advanced. But the worst thing you can do is to keep quiet. Amen? If you keep quiet, you have not released any power. You are just hanging on mercy. Hallelujah. But there are many people that have died hanging on mercy. Because mercy is God's prerogative. It's not your right. You know, it's like a beggar on the street, yeah? They can't guarantee what we give to them. Yeah? Even you yourself, you see a beggar on the street asking you for money. Do you always give it? And you're a Christian. Brother Gideon. It does not mean you don't have compassion. So where would you give all the time?
Normally, at first I was giving, but what I do now, I ask what they need. And sometimes I go back to the shop, buy, if you're hungry, buy a lot of bread.
And sometimes you just walk past.
Yes. Sometimes, if I don't have cash, I don't have something. Sorry, I don't have it. Just
sometimes you even say, "Not today." I'm not trying to make you feel guilty for that. It's not every day you can give to the beggar. Yeah. You hope that somebody else will give. So we're going to give the beggar every day. You must move them to your house. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So you can't just hang on mercy alone. Yeah? Mercy is there when you have missed it. Amen? But grace gives you authority. Yeah? To make things happen. Now, I'm not talking about just going about commanding everything as you like. No. I'm talking about your something is interfering with the will of God for your life. Something's about to shut your life down. That's a critical issue. Hallelujah. Something is trying to oppress you and dominate you. Yeah? Imagine Satan comes today now and sits on your head. You know Satan can sit on people's head. Usually it's not Satan that does it directly. He sends his messengers. Do you know the name of the messengers of Satan? They are called demons. You can't see them, but they are real. And sometimes demons sit on people's head. Sometimes a demon can even stand before you to block you. You just don't know. You just know that something is not right here. Yeah? What are you going to do?
You have to rebuke it. You have to take, that's why I say, whatever you ask in my name, you have to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, evil force. Evil force. It's an evil force. It's a demon sitting in your head, and your head is ringing, full of headache, full of heaviness, full of confusion. Yeah? You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, you evil influence sitting on my head, I rebuke you and I command you, take your hands off. Hallelujah. Do you think that Jesus will be happy for the demon to be sitting on your head? Under any circumstance. Of course, there's a circumstance that he may permit it, but he's not still happy. If you're in rebellion, he opens the door to the devil. But that doesn't mean Jesus is happy. Is Jesus still happy? Is there any moment that Jesus can be happy that the devil is kicking you about like a football? No. Hallelujah. So if you have missed it, repent. That one is a quick business. It's quick. It's not too difficult to repent. You just need to humble yourself. The reason why people don't repent is that they refuse to humble themselves. Yeah? It's pride. Repentance is the easiest thing. Just lay down your pride and what? Repent. Once you finish that business, take the name of Jesus. What do? Take the name. The Bible did not tell you to go and wrestle with the devil. You can't wrestle him. But you have the name. Hallelujah. Take the name. Say, in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off. Satan, leave my arm. Satan, leave my mind. Satan, leave my business. Satan, leave my money. But of course, you know that you cannot command Satan to leave your money if God has no portion in you. You see, for you to tell the devil to leave your money, you have first submitted your money to God. Hello? When you are not submitted to God, you are weakening your ability to resist the devil. Any part of your life you are not submitted to God, you are weakened in resisting the devil. But when you have submitted to God, hallelujah, you can take the name of Jesus and throw it like David's stone against the Goliath. And that name, just like the stone, will penetrate deep where it needs to go and bring down that giant. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and talk to God. So I hope what I've achieved today is to remind you that you have authority as a believer. That authority is packaged in the name. Now, if you don't believe in the name, how will it work for you? If you are always joking about and jesting using the name of Jesus, how will it work for you when you need it for serious business? If you only mention the name of Jesus when you are frustrated, or when you are, you know, when you are angry, how will it work for you when you are in need? Hallelujah. But when you understand the power in the name of Jesus, you reserve it, yeah, for life's challenges. And you will take that name with some courage. You need courage. You need boldness. I tell you, you need what? Boldness. And say, in the name of Jesus, I command, I rebuke, I cast, I refuse, hallelujah, I declare, I proclaim, hallelujah. That's how you're going to enter. And Bible says when you do it, Jesus, who is always with you, will step in place. It's like when you do that, you're giving him the mandate to do it for you. So pray and say, Lord, help me to use the name of Jesus appropriately and sufficiently in every part of my life until I enter the victory. My job is to submit to God, not to situations and circumstances. I will only submit to situations if I know that that's God's will for me. There's no point resisting God's will. But the devil, whenever the devil shows up to do something in my life that is contrary to God's will, because that's what he always does, by the way, he is to be resisted. And the first line of resistance against the devil is to take the name. Hallelujah.
Say, I take the name of Jesus as my helmet of salvation.